Our sermon text this morning is one verse from the gospel reading that you just heard Deacon Warren read. It's Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Today we celebrate the feast of circumcision in holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is also known as the octave of the Nativity, 8 days inclusive of Christ's birth, which includes Christmas Day itself. We celebrate Christ's circumcision and name day as historical facts, but as facts that point us to spiritual truth. In Genesis 17, God instituted the covenant of circumcision with Abraham. Beginning with Abraham and throughout all generations, every Israelite boy and every resident alien living in Israel, male, was to be circumcised on the 8th day of life, or of inclusion into Israel. Circumcision was a perpetual sign of God's promises to Abraham, promises of possession of the land, promises of blessings for all nations that would come through Abraham and his offspring. Circumcision signaled inclusion into this covenant promise, and the Holy Spirit, speaking through the prophet Moses, pointed beyond the sign of circumcision to its greater meaning. Knowing that Israel could not perfectly keep the law, God deepened his promise before Israel entered into the promised land, the earthly promised land. Moses says, after you stray, after you prostitute yourselves to idols, when you are convinced that you are by nature, finally convinced that you are covenant breakers, and when you turn back to the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. God would replace an external mark made at the place of propagation and procreation. He would reach into the place of personhood, where the affections lay. He would reach as far as the very seat of one's nature, and perform another surgery, one lasting beyond a lifetime. God would make an internal mark of regeneration, begetting a people of faith for himself. The prophets tell us that he would do this by the work of his Spirit on the day of the Lord. On the day of the Lord, by the power of the Spirit, God would circumcise the hearts of a new humanity, cutting off not only flesh away from the body and casting it off, but also the deeds of the flesh in love of God. The escalation of sign points to an escalation of the promise itself, the land and the blessings, too, would be more than lasting for this lifetime or on this earth. A promised land would go beyond Palestine to an eternal land, a home in the heavens, not made by hands, an inheritance belonging through Abraham and his offspring to a multitude of regenerated men and women. The Apostle Paul reminds us from these verses in Genesis, in Galatians, of the singular use of the word offspring in whom the covenant promises would be fulfilled. In his epistle to the Galatians, Paul writes, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say, and to his offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring. And the apostle informs us that this offspring is Christ. St. Paul is discussing the fact that faith in Christ, not obedience to the law, makes a person a son or daughter of Abraham. Inclusion into the people of God is granted by promise, not by obedience. People from all nations will inherit the promised land and the blessings of God, not by adherence to the law, but by faith in the promise of God. On the 8th day, Jesus was circumcised. He was the true Israelite, the son of promise. All sons of Abraham would name themselves as heirs of the promise through this one offspring. Jesus submits to the sign of the promise while simultaneously fulfilling the promise. the flesh is cast away from the one who would put flesh to death in a new humanity. And he was formally given the name announced to Mary by the angel Gabriel, Jesus. Seeing that Mary was troubled at the greeting of favor he had pronounced, Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This one, named Jesus, would fulfill the Davidic covenant, as well as the Abrahamic covenant. He would restore and maintain the eternal throne over God's people. He would rule in justice and peace. His kingdom would have no end. This one named Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. His name means deliverer, rescuer, savior. He would deliver his people from tyranny and oppression. He would take them to himself, provide for them, and bring them into an everlasting kingdom." While visiting Elizabeth, who carried the forerunner of the Messiah, Mary sang in the Spirit, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Listen to how the Magnificat ends. "He, the Lord, has helped his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Gabriel had announced the Messiah, the restoration of David's throne. Mary links the reign of the Messiah, the salvation that he would bring, to the promises made to Abraham. The promises made to David were connected to these promises made to Abraham. Jesus, Savior, Deliverer, Rescuer, would indeed establish a kingdom. As the name Jesus was given before the incarnate Lord was conceived, so was his deliverance, so was the kingdom established before his birth. The prophet Isaiah records these words, "The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother he named me. He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. He says, I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Way before Jesus was conceived. Yes, he would reign in opposition to all earthly empires, but firstly and chiefly, he would reign in opposition to the kingdom of evil. He would conquer sin and death. He would set his people free from the dominion of darkness. He would establish a kingdom made up of people who were circumcised in their hearts. His kingdom would truly bring righteousness, not just for his people, but in his people. He would turn their hearts from stone to flesh. He would give them his own spirit. He would save them from their sins. He would reign in the hearts of men and women, baptized into his death and into his life. He would be apprehended by faith until all of his own were gathered to worship and to serve him for eternity. The Christian week begins on Sunday and extends through Saturday. You know this. There are 7 days in the week. We gather to worship on the first day on which our Lord rose from the dead, on the day in which history shifted. We do not worship on the seventh day, on the Sabbath, on which God rested from his work of creation. Creation has been superseded by the mark of a new era of recreation. Old things have passed away, and types and shadows are finding a greater fulfillment. Every Sunday is the first day, but at the same time, as time and history continue. Every Sunday is also the eighth day. Like an octave on the piano. The seventh note on the scale always wants to resolve upward to that final octave. Eight notes up from middle C is also C, but that note vibrates twice as fast. There is continuity, but escalation. Likewise, in the history of the world, the entrance of Christ into humanity, his atoning death and resurrection, mark an eighth day, an eternal day, the final day of the Lord. History as we know it, involving all creation as we see it around us, will end, not obliterated, but climactically continued. The week of history will move into a day that has no more cycle, no more progress with its change and struggle, even no more faith and hope, because all will be sight. There will be no more night, no shadow of change. The eternal day will be lighted not with the sun, a mere star hanging in the cosmos, but with the Son of God. A new creation will be fit to sustain the eternal impact of that radiance. In celebrating the circumcision and naming of our Lord Jesus, we celebrate the historical events that took place 8 days from his birth. We celebrate Jesus as the Son of Abraham. We celebrate Jesus, the Messiah. We celebrate the kingdom of light and righteousness that was inaugurated and fulfilled in him. And we celebrate in advance, whenever that day may come, when the final day of the Lord may come, the escalation, the eternal resolution to which the octave of the Nativity points, an eternal day with the one who has rescued us, circumcised our hearts, and made us heirs of hope with him, Jesus, the Lord. Amen.